Blog Talk Radio.
Just
Good morning, good morning, good morning. First of all, God who's out of my life, welcome, welcome to Worldwide Gospel Connection. Woo! It is Women's Day, Thursday. I'm super excited. I think God will be on shortly. Get your pen and paper together because the Lord has a word just for you on today. Father, we ask you to come on and have your way. Less of you and more of your daughter. Let her decrease and increase in her. Use her on today to be a vessel to deliver your word for your people. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Remember the number is 563-999-3628. Press 1 to speak or if you need prayer. This is no judgment zone. You're not in this by yourself, and we are not here to judge you. But we are all here to encourage, inspire, and uplift you. Keep pushing through. You are beautifully, wonderfully made. You might be broken, but God can put every piece back together. Continue to stand on his word. We're going to go to a musical break, and we'll be back.
I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. Yeah, I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. I lift my hands in total adoration unto you. You reign on the throne, for you are God and God alone. Because of you, my cloudy days are gone.
Thank you.
I can sing to you this song. I just want to say that I love you more than anything.
I lift my hands in total adoration unto you.
Come on, say it. You reign on the throne.
You reign on the throne. For you are God. And God alone. Because of you,
my cloud.
Hello? Good morning.
Good morning, good morning, Prophet Yolanda. The floor is yours. I'm going on mute so I can shout without nobody hearing me, and I have my pen and paper ready.
Okay, okay. I had a problem with the phone. It went out. I had to call back in, so to God be the glory. Precious God in heaven, we thank you for a time as this coming together to share of your word. I pray that your Holy Spirit will be in full control as Yolanda Crystal Reed sits down. Allow your Holy Spirit to be in control of this. I pray that it will touch the hearts and minds of your people to encourage them in every way possible. I pray that you get the glory because you deserve it all. In Jesus' name, I pray and I say amen. Our subject topic was talking about the widow woman, which is coming from 1 Timothy 5 and 5. It says, now she is a widow indeed and desolate, trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayer night and day. Previous recording of last week, I mentioned about how what is described as a true widow woman is usually a woman that's been married one time and she's over the age of 60 and she no longer has her husband. She is dedicated to God and worshiping and serving him. And she makes prayers to him. And God's become her everything at this point. And God watches over her and he protects her and he looks after her just like he does with the fatherless children. I got into the study with the widow women and I came across another one who, she was a widow woman with one son. As the Bible has told us, I'm going to give you kind of a history of going with back to, it's in 1 Kings, and it's about the 17th chapter, and it talks about Elijah, who was one of the prophets. It was two of them. It was Elijah and Elijah. One had an S and the other one had a J. Elijah met up with Ahab, who became king after his father Amri. And they say Ahab did more evil things in the sight of God than any other bad king before him. Ahab is also the one that married Jezebel. And I'm sure you have heard about the story of Jezebel. If not, get into your reading to look how she was. She was evil, and she controlled Ahab. She did a lot of evil things against God, especially about God's prophets. Ahab was so bad that he worshipped Baal and he built an altar to worship Baal. Well, Elijah, who was a prophet, met up with Ahab and told him that it's not going to rain, that there's going to be no more rain. And God put Elijah by the brook, and this brook poured out water to him daily. And he had the birds to bring Elijah food day and night. So when the brook dried up and there was no more water coming out of there, God told him to go to Zarephath to meet a widow. So he went to Zarephath to meet a woman, that same little woman with the only son. And when I was looking up Zarephath to get kind of a better understanding of why it was called Zarephath, it was about a smelting place of purification with fire, a place of purity, a place of toil. And this reminds me of going through trials and tribulations when you're going through something and God is working on you to birth something out of you. You're going to go through those fiery trials and tribulations to the point where you know it has to take God to get you out of that situation. It's going to take God to keep you. It's going to take God to keep your mind, because the trial and tribulation is so strong and so, it's beyond what you can handle. That's when you know you're going through something and you know you need God. We need God regardless. No matter how small, how big we think it is, we still need God in everything. However, at this point, this type of trial and tribulation bring you to your knees where you can't help but pray, but seek God, and to praise and praise your way through it. And when you go through it and you come out of it, he tells us that it would be as if though it was pure gold. I looked at Job 23:10 says, but he knows the way that I take. When he has tried me, I shall come out as gold. So the trials and the tribulations that you go through is to make you to become whom God has destined you to be. I've been through a lot, and I know everyone has been through tremendous things. I've been through the death of my mother and the death of my son within 5 months and 3 days apart, exactly. I did not get an opportunity to really have a conversation with my mom before she passed, but God prepared me for it. I had a conversation with my son before he passed. And before he passed, he was in a nursing home. He was dealing with an illness. He was 28 years old. I'm on my way to go visit my son, and I stop at a long train, and God shows me a vision of my son in a casket and how he is to be dressed in that casket. This is my first child, my only son. And that, if that is not hard to deal with, I don't know what is. However, I got to a nursing home, and he told me, I want to go to hospice. And I said, you ready to go? He said, yes, I am. He said, this is not my life of me being in tubes, not being able to eat what I want to eat. I'm tired of fighting. I want to go to heaven to be with Granny. She's coming to get me tomorrow. I had to stand there and look at him and tell him and sit down and have a conversation with my son and told him how much I appreciate him. I love him. I thank him for preparing me, because it's a lot of women that have lost their child unexpectedly, where somebody just snatched them away. But I got an opportunity to have a conversation with my child, the child that God allowed to come into my life to change my life, to be a better woman of God. My son was a believer. When my son got saved, he used to wear earrings, and I'm not criticizing anyone. And he gave up his earring he had pierced. He gave up secular music. My son listened to TBN, CBN. He listened to Creflo Dollar. He listened to gospel music all day long. He go to bed with it and can quote scripture left to right to encourage. He did not blame his illness on me. He did not blame his illness on God. He always encouraged. He would put his hands up. I could still feel his fingers on my forehead when he would put oil. That 28-year-old man of God never had a girlfriend. He did not go to the prom. He didn't have kids. He never got married. And that was the hardest thing for me, because I wanted him to be healed of this illness, because his illness put him to the point where he was in a wheelchair and could not do nothing, because it took away his motor skills. It took away his heart muscle was the last thing to go, because this illness dealt with the nerves and the muscles in the body. But he encouraged my entire family, my mother, my siblings, whoever he came in contact, he always encouraged them and always had encouraging words to say. He never criticized nobody. And he never complained, despite his body giving out on him. And that encourages me to go strong each and every day. And getting on to my son, that planned his own funeral. God allowed me to see the vision, and I told him what I saw. And he looked at me and was like, wow, God. I said, God prepares us. If we stay in the will of God and we stay in the purpose of God, he always prepares us no matter what we're dealing with or what we're going through. He always prepares us. When my mom passed, in between there, my son was remaining. And I know what God told me and God showed me, but I went into denial, as a lot of us can do. I get in denial of losing my son. My one-year-old granddaughter came to me and sat on the tub while I was taking a bath and talked to me as if though she was a grown woman. She said, Nana, and she put her head down. She said, I'm sorry. You're going to get a phone call, and Aunt Johnny going to sleep, and he not going to wake up. Oh, my Lord, that was a tough pill to swallow. But he used a one-year-old to give me a message to remind me and to prepare me. And I want to let you know that no matter what you're going through, God will send a reminder, and he knows what's in you, that you're going to come through it. But with his help and with your consistency as this widow woman who continued to pray before God, to continue to go before God in prayer and praise and supplication, and whomever got in her path to pray for them. And that's what a true widow woman was about. Now, I'm going to get back to the story in regards to that I want to tell you to encourage you with. So Elijah did go to Zarephath, and he met the widow woman who was right at the entrance as he was coming in. Now, you know, he hadn't had water because the brook dried up. So he asked her for water. So she turns to go get this man of God water. And then he stops her and tells her that he needs something to eat. She tells him, okay, I let you know that I don't have that much. The little that I have, I'm going to make a meal for me and my son, and we're going to die. Because in other words, that's all I got. I don't have nothing else. And he said, I tell you what, make me one first, then make one for you and your son. And she obeyed, and she did that. And she never ran out of food or oil for days to come. So the little that she has, because she obeyed, it multiplied. Going further into the message, he must have dwelt with the widow woman and her son. And the reason why I say that is because her son got sick, and the son died in her arms. Elijah came in, and she said, this is how you repay me about letting my son die, to punish me for my past. Let me tell you something about your past that the enemy likes to trick you up, or people that don't believe that you have been saved, or believe that you've been delivered, or believe that God has changed your life. They always want to bring up your past. They always want to talk about, you know, I remember when you ain't all that. I remember you when you did this. I remember when you did that, and I remember you going there. Let me tell you something. Your past, your now, your present, your future makes you up. It's all of you. We all have past. None of us is worthy if it wasn't for God. None of us is worthy if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit. None of us wasn't worthy if it had not been for Christ, who died on the cross, rose again, having power all over us, having all power in his hands, having the keys of hell and death in his hands. If it had not been for the blood, that sacrificial lamb shedding the blood for our sins, where would we be? Where would we be? I don't think we would be where we are, doing what we are, and being who we are if it had not been for that. And yes, we all come short of the glory of God, because glory belongs to him. Just to encourage yourself that you have been changed because of God. And we all have an opportunity to change if we allow God to come in, allow his Holy Spirit to dwell. to change us. And it doesn't always happen overnight. Every day you wake up, you got to press your way in prayer, press your way in praise, press your way in serving God, allowing God to lead and guide you in everything that you do. Because, again, we all have a past. Nothing to hold your head down unless you're praying to God. You keep your head lifted up. You stay encouraged to know that if it had not been for God, where would I be? I may not be who I should be, but I ain't what I used to be. That's how I know you change. Certain things you tolerate, you wouldn't tolerate back in the day. Oh, but please don't let it get it twisted. Because step on my foot the wrong way. Oh, that old yo-yo might come out wrong, and they got to go repent. Because God is not done with me. He's still working on me. Long as you living, you have an opportunity to get it right. Long as you living, you have an opportunity to repent of your sins and ask for forgiveness and ask God to help you change your ways. Allow the Holy Spirit to convict you when you're wrong. And don't hold on to that, God knows my heart. That's a bunch of excuses. Yeah, God knows your heart, but if you're wrong, repent that you're wrong. Lord, forgive me. I'm wrong. Lord, show me where I'm wrong at. Because when it's said and done, when we're done with down here and we got to go see him face to face, oh, he got a list of what we didn't repent of. And you will see where you was wrong at. So I suggest that while you living, get it right. For real, get it right. It's not worth, none of this is worth going to hell for. I'm telling you that right now. It's not worth going to hell, holding on to grudge, hating somebody, living any kind of way, disrespecting folks, hurting people on purpose. None of that, because you think because you're a child of God, you have all the rights. Hello. We all have an opportunity to come to Christ and get saved. Pray for your enemies. That's a love your enemies. You have to, and you have to forgive everyone, despite how they hurt you. And if you have a hard time with that, pray for God to give you strength to love and give you a heart of God to love and forgive. And don't look at you can't be wrong because, hey, we all make mistakes. But if you fall, don't stay in that fallen state. Get up, wipe yourself, clean yourself up, repent, and turn from that. Don't keep dwelling that and dwelling, looking backwards. Look forward. And trust God. Press towards the mark of the high calling so you can be with whom God called you and will have you to be. Now back to the story. So while she's telling him about that past, and this is how you punch my son, he takes the child out, the son out of her arms, and he takes him away, and he prays over him 3 times. And God hears him and heals him and restores the child, and he takes the child back to the mother. And then that's what she tells him, I know now that you are a true man of God. And God got me into that, and he got me off into about the prophetic and what it stands for, because being in the calling and in the prophetic and you're working in the prophetic, we can't get beside ourselves. We have to remember that we are mouthpieces for God to speak life and to encourage others. I looked up and it was telling me the role of the prophet in the life of God's people was to serve as a spokesperson or mediators for God. Prophets communicate gospel to the people, encourage them in faithfulness, and call them to repentance when they turn away from God. Walking in the prophetic anointing also requires us to live a life of consecration, prayer, and fasting so we can maintain the presence of God in our lives. Failure to do this will result in us not being able to accomplish the purpose for which we were created. Among the defining characteristics of the prophet are the ability to intercede for others in their relationship with God, the power to work miracles to reverse such misfortunes as barrenness, sickness, and poverty, blame on a poor relationship with God, and they are mouthpieces that are used by God like Christ. Prophets receive revelation from God and point people towards salvation. They are usually seen as leaders. Prophets have long been called mouthpieces for God in Ezekiel 3:27. God told Ezekiel, when I speak with thee, I will open thy mouth, and thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord of God. We are blessed in this tremendous responsibility in encouraging and interceding for others, to encourage them when everything is going well, then all of a sudden things go left. And the first thing we think of is, what did I do wrong? Why am I under this curse? And why it went left when everything was going so well? I thought this was done. The widow woman was thinking that, hey, I ain't got to worry about me and my child starving. She was house poverty, meaning that all she had in her possession was her house, herself, and her son. She had nothing else because her husband was gone. No telling what type of debt that she was in at that time. However, she was only having a house and her son. So she's looking at, okay, I ain't got to worry about us. We ain't going to starve. And now my child gets sick and die. What is this? Well, I'm back under a curse. I'm going through it again. Let me tell you, trials and tribulations you're going to always have until the day you die. You're going to always go through something. But the main thing is to encourage yourself. If you have to stand in front of the mirror and encourage yourself to tell you, you're going to be all right. As long as you got God, he's more than the whole world against you. You're going to come through this. You're going to overcome it because why? You're more than an overcomer. We have too much of the word of God to encourage us. And that's why it's so important that you stay in the word of God. Whatever translation that you can understand. See, I came up on King James Version. That's my favorite. However, a lot of times when I have to teach or encourage others, I have to go in the English Version. I have to go on a new International Bible. Or I have to really make it plain, I have to go Amplified. So the different versions of it, however you can get it, that word, long as you get it and meditate on it so it's in your spirit. So when things pop up, that word going to come up and it's going to encourage you. I heard a song that kept playing in my spirit, and that was from James Cleveland and Albertina Walker back in 1979. That song tells you to be, God, please be patient with me. God is not done with me yet. And that song is, Lord, be patient with me. God is not through with me yet. Hi. Please be patient with me. God is not through with me yet. Oh, when God gets through with me, when God gets through with me, I shall come forth, I shall come forth as pure gold. And you know, you don't get your gold until you leave here. So you tell those that keep wanting to bring up your past, even when you want to bring up your past, be patient to know that God is not through with you yet. When it's all said and done, and we have done all that you can do, you continue to stand. And you go into that Ephesians 6 when it talks about the full armor of God. I pray that this encourages you just to let you know that no matter what you're going through, that God got you. He's going to bring you out, and it's going to be all right. Be blessed, I pray, in Jesus' name. And I say amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you for being transparent and sharing that about your son, because even though it's been 7 years, it still hurts. And people need to understand, grieving does not have a time limit. You knew he was saved, filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yes. Yeah.
But you still was your baby. That was your firstborn, your only son.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then 5 months later, then your mother. That's some strong faith. That's some standing on the word of God for real, for real.
Yeah.
I just told a group of ladies Monday to open the Bible and literally stand on the word. They was like, Apostle, I said, yes, ma'am, think about it. once you really visually see it, sometimes people are visual, and they have to really see something sometimes. But hear me well, God is not through with you yet. In spite of all the hell and turmoil you go through, you're here for a reason, to share what you shared today about your son. That speaks volume, and that's growth. And that's the Lord that's in your life for real, not just saying it. You know me. Say what you mean and mean what you say, but really walking it so you can let somebody know, I got through it. You can get through it. Five months apart. From someone who gave you life and you gave life. Correct, you gave life.
Yes.
And then someone who gave you. That's hard. I am so honored to be a part of your life to hear that testimony, Prophetess, because it speaks volume. And I'm sure family was pulling on you and trying to help, but there's nothing someone can say, but I'm here for you. That's really pretty much it. And again, I thank you for being transparent and sharing that. What are you giving up for God? What are you giving up for God? If you will leave anything to the women of God today, what would you like to say? So give them more encouragement on today, because your son's anniversary was yesterday, and this is a new day. What would you like to tell someone today that's experiencing this or that has been on this road that's maybe fresh or maybe it's been 20 years? My grandmother's been gone since 06, and I still have my weary days sometimes.
Yes.
But what would you like to share to them on today to let them know to keep pushing through?
I would like to say that, like I said before, continue to be encouraged and to know that your life has a purpose. You're going to have your days, especially on their birthdays and days that they pass away. And some days you'll get through it. Some days you have to take a moment just to reflect and go back and ask God for strength. But just to let you know that thank God that I look at this to encourage you. I thank God that I had a mother and know who my mother was. There's so many that haven't or even had a relationship with their parent. I thank God for my son because he was my first child. I was told I couldn't have any children. I had four. And he was the first one to change my life. And knowing that they love God and God loved them and God knows what's best for them, not only that, their lives and how they encourages others encouraged me that you got to continue to encourage each other. And because their lives was that way, it encouraged me to continue to press. Because I looked at my life and I can't go out now. I got to keep pressing because I have a responsibility, because I have tags on me, meaning that I have responsibilities where I have people depending on me. I'm raising right now two grandbabies that are 11 and 13, and they depend on me. I have all of my grandbabies that want to hear my voice or give me a hug or see me. And I have still a life to live to encourage other women. As a woman that's been divorced twice, you would think I would stay bitter and not remarry or want to be married. My heart desire is, but I live my life so that I abstain from certain things so I can maintain and be an example to other women that if you want to be kept by God, you can. You don't have to do as the world says, you get over one and get you another. No, you need to stay in the presence of God so that you can hear from God and God can lead and direct you of whom he has for you. And when he does bless you with the one that he has for you, be mindful. Don't dig in your past of what happened before you, before that person came into your life. Don't let that person be punished because of what your hurt you had in the past. Or be learn to grow and get to know the man or that woman of God that God has blessed you with. And how you know that is that man or that woman of God, you will know within your spirit, within your mind, and within your heart. Don't sabotage what God has blessed you with. Look, and there was a scene I seen where the lady told the women, okay, write a list on the good things that you find in your husband, and another list where it lists on the things that you don't like about your husband. And that list where you see more of the positive and that less of the negative, he's not going to be perfect. But God knows what is perfect for you, and we got to trust that. To encourage the married women, love your husband. Be faithful to him. Do your wifely duties. And don't keep pointing fingers at him what he did or didn't do or should have did or whatever. You pray. Because guess what? God is responsible for that man, not you. You're responsible to carry out your wifely duties and taking care of your husband and loving him and making sure the home is clean, making sure his meals are cooked, making sure you have an ear to listen to him. Not always with your hand out looking for stuff, but loving on that man and being submissive to that man as you're supposed to be. You don't know what that man is going through. We go through a hard time, and we know how it is, but we don't know how it is to be a man that's going through things in the world, whether it's at his job, whether it's in his finances, whether it's in his own emotional state that he's dealing with, because he's the provider, and God is over him. And you're under him. Even though you stand toe-to-toe with him, you're still supposed to be submissive to that husband because he's your covering. You don't want to mess up your blessings with not following the rules of God. I don't know why I'm on this subject, but just to know that you got to know. And God has taught me this out of those two marriages I had. No fault of my own, no fault of his. It was both had issues. And God allowed me during these 3 years, going on 4, of what to look at, what to expect. And I could have did better than this. I could have did better than that. And when he about to bless you with somebody, he prepares you for them and for the lifestyle when it's about to take a shift. I pray that this encourages you and to know not to give up. Stay in that word of God. Stay praising God. Stay consistent with it. So no matter what you're going through, you will be encouraged. All the stories in the Bible, Old Testament to the New Testament, it encourages you that they went through some things. You're not just because you got saved, you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, don't mean you're not going to go through something. It seems like you go through more. But guess what? It's worth it because it makes you a better you for the kingdom of God and for God and for God to get the glory out of it and let you know that you're not alone. God said he will never forsake us. He always come through. He always come through. If it ain't nothing, somebody give you a call to encourage you. He always come through with something that you are not expecting comes to encourage you, to encourage you to keep going on. He puts people in your life that's going through worse than you for you to encourage them. When you get through encouraging them, you don't encourage yourself. So I pray that this nuggets were encouraging for you and be blessed.
Amen. Amen. Matthew 17:20. Says he replied, because you have so little faith, truly I tell you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, that's a dot on a piece of paper, you can say to the mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. We're going to leave you with that scripture in Matthew 17:20. Nothing's impossible for you because God still has full control. Romans 10:9 states, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Yes, they say do the sinner's prayer. I get it. Sometimes you have to meet people where they are. You don't have to throw all the 66 books of the Bible at them. You don't have to speak in tongues all the time. Just meet them where they are. We understand you're saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. We talk about me. Think they saved and sit in the church, as Chief Apostle always tell us at the Abba House. Don't try to dictate and be so judgmental when you forgot where you came from. Hello. You wasn't always perfect. But let somebody know. Let your light shine in the darkness. And God did it for me. He can definitely do it for you. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be easy. Providence Reed just said that. Nope, no. Apostle Douglas is not saying that. But what I am saying, God has you more and more every day, one day at a time. If you don't read your scriptures, you got the app, play it one day at a time. Don't give up. Keep pushing through. I'm going to leave you with three keys for this morning. One, get you a Bible, whether it's King James or NIV, get you a Bible. Two, find your church home. Go online, go visit, whatever you need to do to get your soul saved. Can't nobody save your soul. Can't nobody push you to go to church. Can't nobody push you to, let me phrase, they can push you to go to church. But can't nobody make you surrender your life to Christ but you. God is not aggressive. His arms is open. He's waiting on you. You're definitely welcome to join us at the Opp House International every Sunday at 11:30, whether it's online or in person. In person is 6705 H Street, Houston, Texas, 77028, or online on Facebook at Opp House, where we encourage, inspire you, and push you to your purpose. And three, make sure the man or woman of God that you're under is walking and teaching the same thing. Now, hear me well. No shade against nobody. Everybody laughing at me at our house. You know, that's what I say. But if they're not walking and teaching the same thing, check your plug. You're in the wrong spot. Know that God loves you, and so do we. Have a blessed and phenomenal day. Don't give up. Keep pushing through. Be blessed.
Somebody tell him thank you, thank
you.
Thank you, Lord. Oh. Come on.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. You've been, I gotta move on. Been so good. Is that anybody else's testimony about beside myself? Tell you've been so, I see you, Betty Jackson. Been so good. Good to see you, girl. You've been so good. You've been so, been so good. Hallelujah. And I just want to thank you.
I don't know about you.